And so may I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. Welcome this morning to two parables of lost sheep and lost coins. The Pope's caused quite a stir this week, hasn't he? Have you been following it, anybody? Anyone read the Republica translation of what Pope Benedict said about atheists going to heaven? Well, if you want to read it, I'll tag it on to the end of this sermon so you can read it online. I decided to read a translation of it. It's not what you think of a letter. It's not like a letter that goes into beds on Sunday, you know, we hate the mayor or something. It was a 2,500-word essay, I think it was. It's a big letter, and it's been distilled to a few little gobbets for the press, and basically atheists go to heaven is the kind of message that they're putting out. The Pope says an awful lot more than that. It's a very good essay, and it's talking about people who are lost and whether God can find them. Pope talks about the incredible love that God has for every man, the priceless value that he acknowledges. And he goes on to talk about God's mercy having no limits, and if he who asks for mercy does so in contrition and with a sincere heart, then he talks about people finding God's forgiveness, which is quite interesting. It's a different way of looking at things. I think probably the Pope has said more than I would want to say about the number of people that God's going to let into heaven. But the problem is the Pope, as the successor of St. Peter, he's got the keys, hasn't he? So I suppose he can let in whoever he likes. It's up to him. So there we are. But it's very appropriate for today, because today we're looking at lostness and people being found, and the parables that Jesus teaches to people who are criticizing him. Because Jesus is having dinner, he's having meals with people who were considered to be the lost ones, the outside ones, the unclean ones. Table fellowship's wonderful because you get everyone around the table and they're the ones who are in. And it includes people. When we have meals like that, it welcomes folks. And it's a great embrace. But of course, it's also an exclusion, because there are some who aren't allowed to come in. Some who aren't allowed to join the group. So table fellowship is also table exclusion. So what Jesus does, he invites the ones who are excluded to be at the guests. This is the whole point about his ministry. It's this embrace, this welcoming. So Jesus is criticized at the beginning of the parables this morning. Tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, and this is the key bit, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That's what he's being criticized for. Eating and welcoming sinners. And that's what the Pope is sort of being criticized at the moment, his attitude towards the sinners, the atheists. So the Pharisees are angry because Jesus is spending time with the wrong sorts of people. He's with the lost, and they're resentful and they're jealous. Remember, like the prodigal son comes home and the father runs out to greet him, and the elder brother is jealous and resentful. That's how the Pharisees are. They're resentful and jealous. Jesus is supposed not to be mixing with the riffraff, and they're the very ones that he's with. And the response of Jesus to this attack on him is to tell two stories. First of all, God is like a shepherd. And secondly, God is like a woman. Now, just think about those two things and think why the Pharisees might have been upset to hear that God is like a shepherd and God is like a woman. Well, look, the first thing is that the shepherds were assumed to be unclean people. Some people thought of them as robbers because they took the sheep all over the hillsides, eating everyone else's grass. They lived unclean lives. They weren't able to indulge in the religious ceremonies that everybody else was. And so, I mean, they weren't even allowed to be considered to be suitable witnesses. Shepherds were low life. They weren't up to the job. So when Jesus says, imagine you're a shepherd to these Pharisees, they say, whoa, we're not shepherds. We're good, clean people. We're not like them. And then imagine when Jesus says, imagine that you're a woman. Well, you know, God's not like a woman. How could God be like a woman? I mean, even today, people would be affronted. Some people would be affronted at this idea that somehow God is like a woman. So Jesus tells two stories about God, with the central character being people who were unsuitable to represent God. Does that make sense? Shepherds couldn't represent God. and women couldn't represent God. And so Jesus is picking those out specifically to rub the noses of the Pharisees in it. He's really going to town on them. And we need to try and understand that little, that the importance of, and significance of that. So first of all, lost sheep. It's not really about lost sheep. It's about God's attitude to the lost. It's about the attitude of the shepherd to the lost. It's nothing important really about sheep. It's about lostness and seeking. So Jesus says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep. Well, impossible, because we couldn't be shepherds. Does he not leave the 99 and go and look after the lost sheep? And when he finds it, puts it on his shoulders joyfully and returns. The important thing that Jesus is saying is that God really cares about the lost. God places huge value on the least deserving, the ones who've gone astray. That's the message. And it tells us something about the nature of God, that God is really concerned about the lost. Now, of course, people read the parable and they say, well, what about the 99? It's not about that. It's about the lost. God isn't... The point about the passage is God is really concerned about the lost, those who have gone astray, those are the weak ones. Yeah, of course, the 99, it's not about that. It's about whether God is concerned about seeking out the lost. And the answer, Jesus says, is yes, from my special relationship with God, this as God's son, I can tell you that God is really concerned about those who have gone astray and those who are lost. There's no such things as ones who are forgotten. And that's really, really important. And it's important for us. And it's important for us to understand that God is not an impassive God, a God who sits there and just says, oh, 99, da, da, da. God isn't doing fractions or equations or his maths or his sums. God feels, God has a heart. God is moved to compassion by those who are lost. And therefore, when the sheep is found, the reaction of God is happiness. God rejoices. I've found my sheep. It's all really, really important stuff. And of course, then Jesus tells the second passage. And this is about the woman. Remember, God can't be a woman either. So immediately he's got them on the back foot. They're angry and cross about him. He says, imagine that a woman, God is like a woman who loses a coin. What does she do? She gets a lamp. She goes searching. I was trying to think why the lamps. We went to Pompeii in Italy over the summer. And I was listening to one of the kind of guides who takes people around Pompeii, and he's saying, look, there are no windows. And Colin and I stood there, we said, there are windows. The houses did have windows, but there were quite little windows. And they're quite dark inside these houses, quite dark houses. And the houses that women would have lived in at the time were quite dark. So you understand, she gets a lamp. She goes around, it's like a torch. Going around looking at a little torch. They didn't have torches in those days. So she gets a lamp and she goes around. She's looking for a coin. That's right. She gets a lamp and she's searching in all the nooks and crannies. She's brushing around and there's cracks in the floor because they didn't have lino. So there was the cracks in the floors that go down and you scruffle around and you're looking and you can imagine this woman saying, where's this coin? And trying desperately to find this. And you'll see in Partnership News there's a picture of a woman looking for her lost coin. And I'm looking at the picture. I think there's something wrong with this picture. And I was trying to work out what it was. And I think it's the face of the woman that I think is wrong. Because she looks too serene. And remember I said that God isn't impassive. What I meant was God has a heart. God gets moved. And this woman, she just looks a little bit... I mean, I know it's in stained glass. And I don't want to criticise the person. Because it's a lovely picture. As we put it in. But she's just not desperate enough. That's what I felt about it. You know, if you lose something, the point that Jesus is making is, God is moved. God goes. God, you know, he does desperate things. He leaves the 99 and goes because he's so concerned. He's off. And he's looking at this woman. She just looked, you know, oh, she's kind of the broom's there. She'd be down on her hands and knees. Imagine you've lost a lottery ticket. You know, imagine the whole house gets chucked out. You know, you're running around. Where is that? Where is that lost? I was trying to think of a time when I've been frantic. A little while ago, we lost Annie, you know, our puppy Rottweiler. We lost Annie. We were going out early in the morning, and Corinne had left the gate open. And one of us had left the gate open. And the puppy got out the gate. And, you know, you go looking around, and first it starts off with, Annie, you know, and no Annie comes back, you go, Annie! And it goes on like this. And eventually, you know, before long, we've got posters printed out. They're in the shops for awards. You know, this is in a matter of space of, you know, an hour or so. And the whole of Brickell is on lockdown. You know, we're trying to find. I'm thinking, where on earth is this? I was supposed to be spending the day with the Bishop of St. Albans in his house. I had to ring up the Bishop of St. Albans and say, I'm sorry, I can't come and spend the day with you. I'm looking for my puppy. He was very understanding and all the rest of it. But we're out looking, and I get a phone call, and it says, hello, we've got your dog in Baldock. How can this little puppy get halfway down the A1 to London? You know, in minutes, it must be a racing dog or something. And when we confirmed that, you know, the description was Annie, we went down and we collected Annie. And it transpired that Annie had wandered out into the front of our garden, and the police had come past and arrested her and put her in the back of a van and driven her all the way down to Baldock. And, I mean, you can't get the police to arrest major criminals, you know, running around, we've got guys running around Brickell with guns, and I have to do house-to-house inquiries trying to get the police around it. They saw this little puppy, and this is a puppy! And so she got handcuffed, thrown in the back of the van, and taken away. And you know, we were just absolutely frantic. You know, we were frantic. Where is this dog? And you turn the place upside down. You're looking everywhere. And in a sense, caution goes to the wind, doesn't it? You just go for it. And that woman doesn't really represent a woman who's really desperate to find that which is lost. And what Jesus is doing is tapping into our emotions that we feel when we lose something. You know, we're supposed to understand what this is like. Imagine if you lose a child. If you had a good child. Imagine if you had a good child and you lost that child. Imagine how you would feel if you lost the child. Imagine how would you feel if you knew you had this winning lottery ticket and you couldn't find that lottery ticket. That's what Jesus is tapping into. And he's saying that is what God is like when he loses you. That is how God feels when you go astray. That's what Jesus is trying to get across to us this morning. And God is not passive about it. God is frantic. So frantic is God. So desperate is God to recover that which is lost, that he takes on human flesh, becomes human, to show us what he is like, to show us his love and his concern, and he goes to death on the cross. And that's what the Pope says in his letter. He says, Jesus rose from the dead not to be triumphant over those who refused him, but to certify that the love of God is stronger than death, the forgiveness of God is stronger than any sin. He goes on to talk about the flesh of Christ and how Tertullian, the early church father, spoke of caro cardo salutis, the Son taking flesh as the pivot of our salvation. He says it shows the incredible love that God has for every man, the priceless value. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across in this passage this morning. It's incredible for us to realize the value that God places on every single human head. So much so that he will risk all to go looking for us. Amen.